Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
There's artificial intelligence, then there's apartmental intelligence. Yep, it's a thing. Apartments.com knows how to find the exact place you have in mind. Want a three-bedroom condo in a walkable downtown? Done. Or that single-family home with a yard and a quiet neighborhood? Easy. With over a million rental listings, plus search tools that make moving simple, their apartmental intelligence can get you a place that gets you. Visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Yes, sir. That is us. And welcome to a South Florida High School Sports Radio Show. It is a Monday night edition. And Trevor Harris and I are with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be joining us. We are, wow. In high schools, we're almost at the midway point. Didn't this thing just start? It's it flies. Like the off season, I mean, the off season goes okay, but I mean, you know, just the season. And, you know, we talked about this last Friday with Joe Rose. We're on with Joe every Friday morning at 7:20 to about 7:40, talking about high school and talking about some of the top teams and such. And he brought that point up too. I said, you know, I mean, he said, this thing flying by, you know, you're through week five. Going into week six in the high school football season, you play 10 games. I believe you have 12 regular season weeks. And then you go 4 weeks of the playoffs. And then you get your state championship game. So, I mean, from the last week of August all the way up until the second week of December, you have live football. And then you have all-star games and, you know, such. But I'm just saying that if you're a team that, you know, doesn't make the playoffs, you got to – and let's say you get a game or two postponed because of Lightning, and they're not district games and you don't make them up, I mean, you're down to 8 games, kind of robbing you of extra film. And then if you're injured for a game or two or, you know, this or that, I mean, it's – nothing's cut and dry. And not only that, I mean, you take a look at the college games, you know, I mean, and I think I was just telling Trevor, I mean, think that everybody loves in this world of, I guess, just in the world of sports, everybody loves to jump the gun. And they always love to just, okay, in 5 weeks, we have this team and, you know, and Miami plays Florida State in 2 weeks, but in between there's a trip to Charlottesville, Virginia. Oh, okay. For FSU, yeah, now we got this. Yeah. For a team who was 2-10 last year, you got nothing. Okay. And come on. You can't take anything for granted. And you can bet firsthand. I just got off the phone with somebody who plays for Virginia, that they're not going to just come in there and roll all over Virginia without any type of pushback. FSU's got great talent, and they're doing tremendous and beating Kent to death and everybody like that. And they got that signature win against Alabama. But come on, let's not jump the gun. You know, even Miami before this game with Florida on Saturday say, hey, wait a minute. You know, okay, it's going to be nice to go up to Tallahassee and potentially have an unbeaten contest on national TV, but we got the Gators. And I don't care if you're a Miami fan and you just don't see the entire picture, but Florida is the best defensive team Miami will play all year. Won't even be close, okay? Won't even be close. Florida had talent everywhere, speed everywhere. They just don't have anybody to call an offense. But they had an answer, and there was a reason why Carson Beck didn't look as good as he had in the previous games, because Florida was pretty good. You know, so enough of this. Get rid of Billy. We'll get somebody better that will be able to do what? To do what? By getting rid of a coach, it's just, if you're a fan, okay, you want to get rid of a coach, that's fine. But think about the ramifications. You got to start all over in recruiting. Everybody in the country will be on your 2026 recruits, which Florida has some studs. They'll be on that 2025 class, too, that already has some studs. And they'll be on your players. And then you got to revamp your entire coaching staff. Let them rest for a minute. Let them have their week off. Let them host Texas, who's not as good as you think. Okay? That's going to be one of those 13-10 games. Because I've watched Texas. There's no way they're going to roll all over Florida. No way. No way. Texas doesn't have the offense Miami does. And Miami certainly had to work for everything that they got. So let's slow it down a little bit, but trying to kick people out the door. Because Billy may be the answer and he may not be. But if you throw everything away, and I understand the Dolphins.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Ever watch your pets sleep and wonder what they're dreaming about? Maybe it's them chasing a ball on a grassy field next to your new duplex, or catching the frisbee in front of your single-family home. Or perhaps they're zooming around the kitchen of your open-concept condo. Whatever their dream setting looks like, you can rest assured that you'll find the most pet-friendly rental listings on Apartments.com. The place to find a pet-friendly place.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
And fans are in that same mode because you know that it's not just going to be the head coach that's going to be gone. I think there's people in the front office that may find their way out the door too. So before you start looking for a new coach, remind yourself that if you bring in a new general manager along the way, they're going to want their own people. So why make two different moves? I can understand the interim tag, and that's probably what happens throughout the NFL. But wow, how everybody and their mother wants to replace everybody just when things are going south. Yeah, I was just talking to Trevor about the Philadelphia. I'm happened to be a Ram fan since I was a young kid, and I'm thinking, you know, listen, gut reaction. Let's get rid of the kicker. Let's get rid of this, that, you know. Yeah, things happen. And I know that the Gators aren't playing the best, okay? And I know they lost to South Florida, and I know they lost to LSU. But at the same time, the saving grace is they do have a schedule that two or three or four wins over the next 5 weeks could start to remedy things because they have a really tough schedule. Yeah, and I've watched these teams. I don't think there's a clear-cut number one in the country. You know, Ohio State plays good football. They can get beat by Penn State. Oregon could get beat by Penn State. Penn State could get beat. You know, it just – somewhere along the line with all these games, it's going to be tough to go 17-0. So one or two lost teams – you know, like you look at Alabama, okay, they got beat by Florida State. That doesn't mean that they're not going to come back on the other side and start putting things together. They've already had Ty Simpson has already started to show, you know, what he could do. And then they have Georgia this week, so they could get right back in it. Yeah, it's to lose a game or two this early in the season and to start kicking people out the door, you know, that's your objective. I'm not like that. Maybe it's being older and understanding. I've been through this all before, and I see what happens, you know, by just getting rid of somebody. You know, it may spike for a week or two, but believe me, you are what you are. And you look, and we were in the press box the other day at the Miami game and going down the Florida roster. And they got cats, man. They do. They have guys. They have guys. They just got to get, you know, better. I mean, they have to have – I think in college football especially, well, we know in the NFL, calling your own plays and is crazy. It's suicide. But, you know, Mike McDaniel, I guess, does it, and a lot of other people do it. It shows you. But I'm just thinking you got to have a coordinator in college that really calls the plays. Because if, you know, if you don't trust these guys, then you know what? That's not a good signal. You know, Mario does enough with Dawson. And yeah, Miami sputtered the other day a lot of times. But there's a reason why. And we said right after they played against Bethune-Cookman, there really won't be any just complete, we got the W's. There just won't. Because now you got your conference. And look what happened. I'm sure Clemson fans were all excited about Syracuse coming into town. Yeah, that didn't work out well. But that's how it is nowadays. Because of the portal, because of all these kids hopping from one school to the next, your infusion, as you could see with Miami's defense, who is arguably one of the worst in the country last year, has already become pretty damn good. So I, you know, that's why when people say to me, oh, you know, I can't wait till 6 weeks from now when that team, why? If you're a Miami fan, take this week, you know, you get it. Assess what you've done for the first four. Got yourself a number two ranking in the Associated Press. And watch, just like everybody will in the country, Friday night's game against Virginia. And then you start assessing. You know, and I heard Carson Beck in the post game show, oh, no, we don't have any weeks off. You know, we're back to work on Monday getting ready, you know, our early preparation for Florida State. And that's fine. That's fine. But you got to take these things one game at a time. Because it's when you start looking ahead, Clemson, it's when you start looking ahead that you get yourself in a hot, you know, a lot of hot water. And that's just my opinion. I mean, it's not that I don't care what anybody else thinks. I do. I just, you know, I mean, I understand. I've been through this damn thing enough to know what goes on, you know, during a situation like, you know, now, especially when you have all those recruits on hand, like the other day. It's great, but everybody's talking about the Notre Dame game. Oh, what an impact. You know, national TV, Sunday night, everybody's watching. Yeah, I know, but it was great for the feeling for the first couple of days after. But a lot of those kids say, okay, that was a great time. But am I going to make my decision to go to Miami based on that? You know, the other night the same. Oh, what a great opportunity to watch two really good football teams. But a game like the other night, in the game in 2 weeks at Florida State, those players are hanging on the balance in a lot of cases between Miami and Florida, between Miami and FSU, between FSU and Florida. So it may be, and it's a small percentage, but it may be that that game or that atmosphere, as rainy as it was, wow, that rain, it's just kicking in. You know, it was great, but you get home Sunday morning and talk to your boys. Oh, that was last night. It was awesome. I saw, you know, great plays, great teams. You know, it was awesome. The atmosphere was tremendous. Got to see all the former Hurricanes who were on the sideline and watched Mike Irvin crank up the little siren and game day. Let me tell you something. Game day probably did more for Miami than that game. It did. That was, I mean, if you watch game day, I mean, and I'm not, believe me, I'm usually in the morning on Saturday, I'm watching film and rehashing stuff that happened, you know, watching the recruits and things like that. But I watched because I wanted to see what it was going to be all about. I was impressed for what they gave Miami, and not just because they called them a great team and they're on their way back. And, you know, I don't buy much into that, but I do buy into the fact that you're around the country, you're in Dubuque, Iowa, you're in Bristol, Connecticut, and you're watching, they're out near a pool on campus. I mean, I've seen a lot of game days. I don't think I've ever seen a setting where they were next to a pool like that, right in the middle of campus and a lake. I mean, it looked anything but a college campus. And, yeah, it was great. You know, I mean, you know, what else can you say? And you know, anytime you have something like that in South Florida, whether it be the Heat or the Panthers or the Hurricanes, there's that South Florida flavor. There is. I mean, you know, there's you get that hot Hispanic flavor that you don't get anywhere else. You know, they were drinking the Cuban coffee, getting ignited. You could see that Kirk Herbstreit didn't want any part of that. It would have amped him up for like 4 days. But Mario drinking that stuff like it was just like a bottle of Zephyr Hills. Yeah. Even coach, even Saban. Listen, you know what? Whatever you thought of Nick Saban as a coach or whatever, you got to be impressed with what he brings to that. Because, you know, he's got a great personality. He's coming out of his shell. He's taking shots at people where you never thought he would. Yeah, I'm not a Pat McAfee fan, but, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess he serves a purpose. I think people watch to see what stupid thing he'll do next. You know, a lot like Coach Corso, you know, what headgear is he going to wear? You know, there's a purpose to it. But, yeah, I think that there was a lot going on. Really good show this evening. Glad you could be with us. Hope you're with us until 8 o'clock. We have NFL football this evening. It's a good one. Detroit and Baltimore. That's a pretty darn good one. 7:35, head coach Brian McCartney from West Broward will join us. If you're a Miami fan, Joshua Moore played there last couple years, so we talk about Josh a little bit as well. Miami Palmetto will join us, head coach Mike Manasco, around 7:25 or so. At 7:05, I know that a lot of people will be listening in tonight. I think one of the fast-rising coaches in college football, Coach Alex Golish, the head coach at University of South Florida, will be checking in with us. This is their off week. And, wow, that program over the last, 4 weeks has taken a pretty good spotlight, especially with wins to begin the season over Florida and obviously getting a chance to beat Boise State and then have a chance to play Miami. So we'll talk to Coach Golis around 7:05. We'll talk University of Miami football about 6:50. Jazz Santana from the Sixth Ring Canes will stop by. We'll talk to him. We've got their podcast this evening at 8:30, so you want to check that out as well. We'll talk to FAU football. Haven't done that in a while. Justin Backer, who covers the Owls for the Palm Beach Post, will join us as well. And in just a few minutes, we'll check out the UCF is undefeated. And then they got a bye week before they kick things off in the Big 12. I think it irritated a few people to hear Bill Belichick refer to them as Central Florida instead of UCF. So Brandon Helwig will drop by. We'll talk to him in a few minutes. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we crank it up for a Monday evening. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Ever walked past a place for rent and wish you could just peek inside? Maybe even explore the layout? Envision the natural light streaming through the windows? Or plan where your vinyl record collection would go? At Apartments.com, you can. With tools like their 3D virtual tours, you can see the exact unit you'd be living in. Really envision yourself in your new home with Apartments.com. The place to find a place.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, truckie.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, up until 8 o'clock this evening. We have NFL football, pretty darn good one. Detroit and Baltimore tonight. So there's a couple of potential ones. I don't know about next Monday. We'll see. The Jets and the Dolphins may. Yeah, but you never know. You never know in a game like that. let me kick into something that kind of makes a lot more sense, like UCF. Knights are off to a 3-0 start. Got a big win on Saturday over an ACC opponent in grand fashion. They will start their Big 12 play at Kansas State. No easy chore. But I'll tell you what, Frost era Part Two is doing pretty good. And they've, they played a pretty aggressive Jacksonville State team to open up, and then they beat North Carolina A&T in a way they should. But last week, I thought that the win kind of was a little bit of a statement game early on, especially now that the rest of the way, all they have is Big 12 games. And as you watched, if you watch any of the Texas Tech Utah game, you know that that conference is for real. They've got some talent. Somebody who had this catbird seat for well over two decades, watching UCF grow into the program it is in all sports, Brandon Helwig from UCFsports.com, and he's kind enough to join us. Brandon, thanks so much for taking the time. Off to a 3-0 start, which is pretty nice. Pretty nice.
Yeah, this is, it was a big win on Saturday. I think, obviously the headlines of Bill Belichick, coming to town and all that stuff. But, I mean, there's still a lot of questions about this UCF team, but I think 3-0 is everyone's really happy with it. I guess it remains to be seen what kind of team North Carolina is going to have. I'm here to talk about UCF and not North Carolina.
Yeah,
that just seems like a complete mess with Belichick and, just everything going on there. I'm not really bullish on North Carolina's chances under Belichick, to be perfectly frank, but it was a big win for UCF. It's something that I think the fan base needed. It just kind of been, since UCF joined the Big 12 a couple years ago in 2023, it just kind of been a struggle. There hasn't been a lot of great experiences, certainly not at home. So everyone was feeling good, getting a big win over, I guess, what you would consider a name program in North Carolina.
Yeah, you hit it right. I mean, everybody needs a win like that. I mean, even, as we all know, Florida's not playing the greatest football in the world, but for have USF to have a win over a team like that, I mean, obviously that does wonders for your program. I'm sure it did for UCF as well. Kind of a chip on their shoulder mentality. I was watching Scott Frost in the post-game interview. I think he thinks there's a lot of doubters and a lot of people that may not have thought that UCF would be in this position heading into the Kansas State game, where they'd be 3-0 and they'd be looking pretty good in a lot of phases of the game. I like to see that, because he's usually not a feisty guy. He's usually not, one of those, we'll show you type, but I think round two for him, I think he's out to show people that they have talent and that this program, not only this year, but down the road is going to be someone to reckon with.
Yeah. And that's kind of what he said. UCF's always kind of embraced that underdog mentality, when he was obviously here the first time in 2016 and 2017, just kind of not being respected, people doubting whether they can compete or not. It's a little bit different dynamics back then, being group of five and just fighting for any sort of respect. Now in the Big 12, a lot of people just kind of, they thought the hire didn't make sense. They said Frost, isn't a good coach. He flamed out at his alma mater, couldn't get it done at Nebraska. He kind of referenced what you're talking about. He referenced the fact that, Alex Grinch, UCF's defensive coordinator, he's taken a lot of national heat. A lot of people blame him for the downfall of USC, which really should fall more on the shoulders of Lincoln Riley more than anyone else.
Sure.
But, Alex Grinch has taken some heat. I think it was some of the Barstool guys were even kind of, he was catching strays, in the preseason, people slamming Alex Grinch, and he might have been referring to those comments. So a lot of people felt disrespected, and, people were predicting UCF pretty much finished last. Like they would be, easily the last place team in the Big 12 this year. So they pay attention to stuff like that. And I know everyone's feeling a lot better now that we've seen UCF play a few games, and there's some hope amongst the fan base that this could be a solid team that can hopefully at least, we were thinking win six games and get to a bowl game. But, if all goes well, if they can somehow knock off Kansas State on the road this week, and Kansas State does not look like the team we thought they were going to be, a lot of people thought they would be the favorite to win the Big 12. That looks like a much more winnable game now. If they could somehow start the season at 4-0, that would be a tremendous start.
Yeah, no doubt. Brandon Helwig joins us, UCFsports.com. And you look at the Big 12, and you know, I referenced that game on Saturday, Utah and Texas Tech, two really good football teams. But this is a Texas Tech team that I think that they, if they take one game at a time, they could be awfully tough to beat. They're number 12 in the country now. They're obviously a team that UCF plays, in November, in Lubbock. In a game, obviously, where, there could be a lot involved in that game as well. But you take a look at the schedule, and I'll tell you, Brandon, that Kansas State, as you said, but then they return home to the bounce house in a big game for Kansas, on October the 4th. And, they know Cincinnati and Houston as well as any, because they play them every single year anyway. But they do have West Virginia at home. They do have Oklahoma State at home. So there's some games over the season that a lot of the fans could, could get excited about. And even on the road, we know Baylor's going to be a beast. They were last year. They are again this year. And certainly BYU is going to be tough. Talk about the Big 12 as you see it, because I think this conference is extremely competitive and could have maybe one or two teams in the playoff, come December.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun league because you literally do not know from year to year who are the favorites in the Big 12. I mean, we talk about UCF was predicted last. Well, guess who was predicted last a year ago? That was Arizona State. And look what they did. They won the Big 12 and made it to the playoff and came very close to beating Texas and advancing in that playoff. So you never know. And you mentioned Texas Tech a minute ago. I mean, they've got some serious money behind. I mean, frankly, that's honestly what it comes down to these days with rev share and NIL, and they've got Ohio State level money, and they recruited an excellent recruiting transfer class. So they've got some talent, and we'll see, how the season goes for them. But it's the thing, it's a coin toss right now. I think Texas Tech, you'd have to consider them the favorite just because of their win against Utah this past weekend, but it really could be anybody. Iowa State's up there. BYU is good year to year. It's anybody's guess who will win the league.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you skirted the Arizona teams this year. That's good. You skirted Iowa State, which is pretty good because those are, like you said, those are teams, that can play. Obviously, you don't have to play Utah, but you do have your hands full. And obviously, like I say, a lot of people don't realize that, the Baylors of the world are pretty good. We saw Oklahoma State get upset by Tulsa this past week, which, kind of bodes well towards the end of the season. But this Kansas State game coming up this week is going to be big. We saw Kansas State in the opener in Ireland against Iowa State and then saw them the week after. And they, as you said, they don't have the talent that they've had the last couple weeks. But, being at home is kind of a factor. So how do you see this week? Talk about this week's game. It's a noon kickoff, which is going to be good. I mean, maybe a lot of the fans hadn't woken up yet out there, and maybe we'll be a quarter or two behind, give UCF an opportunity. How do you see this game this week?
Yeah, first off, this is just going to be a really challenging week for UCF. I'm sure some of your listeners may have seen the news this morning.
Yes.
UCF offensive line coach Sean Clark passed away last night. He had a stroke about a week and a half ago. We didn't know too much about his condition, although it seems like the fact that he died was not expected. There was some word that maybe he was showing some improvement and some progress over the last week. So, I mean, that obviously hit everyone like a ton of bricks. So, how the team kind of reacts to that news, obviously they dedicated the North Carolina win to him. He's very close with the offensive line. That's just obviously everyone's thoughts and prayers are with his family and obviously with his players and all of his friends and loved ones. Just beyond that, this is the first big road test. And honestly, probably the toughest place to play or one of them in the Big 12 is, Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan, Kansas. They have a tremendous fan base, but as you said, maybe there'll be a late arriving crowd or, 11 a.m. You got to get up early, for that one. But Avery Johnson, obviously their quarterback, Kansas State, drew a lot of preseason attention. He's kind of struggled in this early part of the year. Meanwhile, UCF was one of those teams you didn't know who was going to start at quarterback. There were three guys in the mix. during the preseason. And actually, it was Cam Fancher, you know, the former starter at FAU last year. He earned the starting job going yep. into the first game. And he got hurt in the second quarter of the season opener. Like, we barely saw him. And Taven Jackson, you know, the transfer from Indiana, came in, and he's done really well. He's performed great, you know, in his appearances really in the last two games. So he's, I guess that kind of answered the question who UCF's starting quarterback is. You know, he's more of a thrower than a runner, but, you know, he showed off some wheels. I think he ran for a career high for him anyway. I think he ran for like 66 yards on the ground, picked up some huge first downs against North Carolina. The offensive line's been very good at pass protection. Run blocking's got to improve a little bit. You know, there's been some inconsistency at receiver. That's, you know, one of the growing areas of the team where they've got to be more sure-handed catching the ball and running routes. They've got talented running backs, and defensively, UCF's looked really good there. That's kind of what Frost thought this team would be. They thought they hit on a lot of these portal guys. There's a lot of guys with experience, guys who are really playing well. They forced a lot of turnovers, been really good at red zone defense. So I think, you know, if they can, you know, get through this, you know, tough week and go, you know, try to win this one for Sean Clark, I think they've got a real chance in Manhattan.
Good stuff. Brandon, let everybody know how they can follow you, social media, your website, so they can follow along all season long.
Yeah. Well, I've been covering UCF for a long time. You can find me at UCFsports.com, you know, part of the On3 network, and on Twitter and X at UCF Sports.
Good stuff. Brandon, I can't thank you enough. We'll catch up in a few weeks and see how things are going.
Okay. Thank you, Blue.
Good stuff. Brandon Helwig, UCFsports.com, does a great job. He's right there from the beginning. As he said, he's seen this thing grow from basically nothing. And they are right now right in the midst of Big 12, undefeated as they go into Game 4. One of the local teams that we haven't spotlighted enough, obviously we've been trying to get them throughout the spring. We've talked a little bit about FAU, but certainly as they are going into Game 4 this coming week, it will be no easy chore. Actually, it will be the 27th, which will be this week. As we saw Memphis the other day, they beat a SEC team. Pretty good win over Arkansas. They will come in for a contest 7 o'clock against FAU. Justin Backer, who covers the Owls for the Palm Beach Post, is watching it really closely. He's kind enough to join us. Justin, thanks so much for taking the time. Interesting game this week, obviously, coming off a bye week after the FAU-FIU game. Memphis is one of those teams, obviously, that everybody has their attention.
Yeah. First off, thanks for having me. And, you know, like you mentioned, they are, you know, 1-2, and now they're about to face Memphis at home. This is arguably the toughest game on their schedule. So, you know, you can make the argument that this is really not the best time for this. They just lost to FIU. I mean, anybody that's been around FAU for a long time, they know that you don't lose to FIU. Like, they hadn't lost to FIU for almost a decade. It's just not something that happens. And, you know, quite frankly, they get the doors blown off of them against FIU. It wasn't really close, wasn't competitive. But, you know, there's kind of just growing pains going on right now with the program, I would say. It's a completely new regime, new head coach, new quarterback, new everything pretty much. You know, and we're seeing the flashes of brilliance at times. You know, I point to the first couple of drives against Maryland where, you know, they kept that game close the first quarter. I believe the score was even tied after the first quarter or close to it. And then, you know, obviously the result was not really what they hoped for, but, you know, we see flashes of brilliance. I feel like they just need to take better care of the ball. That's really, they've been their own worst enemy so far in these first 3 weeks. And, you know, we'll see if they clean it up against Memphis or not. It's obviously not an easy task, but it should be interesting to see nonetheless.
Well, they had this past week to kind of lick some wounds and look back at the Maryland game, look back at the win against Florida A&M, and obviously the tough loss against FIU. How do you think this last week, having this off, probably came at a good time, especially now that they're going to be hitting the conference games? You know, I mean, they have Memphis, Rice, UAB, Navy, South Florida coming up. Not an easy road by any stretch. But do you think this bye week kind of came at a good time to kind of reevaluate after the first three games?
Well, yeah, I mean, you would hope that they're kind of taking a mental reset a little bit. I'm sure the FIU game was a bit of a a wake-up call, if you will, because, you know, there was obviously a lot of hype around the program coming into the season. You know, you have an air raid style coach coming in. There's an explosive offense. You have big transfers coming in. A lot of people are excited. And now I'm sure a lot of people are a little less excited after losing to FIU, you know, an in-state rival, somebody that, you know, a lot of people have a lot of, I wouldn't say animosity, but there's a rivalry there. So, you know, I'm sure for both the fan base and the team alike, I'm sure this came at a really good time because, like you said, they're entering conference play. So they, if they want to have a good season, make a bowl game, it needs to happen now. I mean, losing to FIU should serve as kind of that wake-up call, I would say.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point, too. You know, in the FIU game, it's a recruiting rivalry. You know, I mean, people have to understand, not only is it a rival game and, you know, something that they've played, as you mentioned, for a number of years, but there's a lot of recruits that will be watching a game like that. And like I said, one game doesn't make a difference because we talked about Miami Notre Dame. Oh, what a great atmosphere. And all those kids are going to make their decision. And most of them forgot about that game already, you know, so it comes and goes. But with the FAU rivalry, and you know, Justin, I mean, it's a 12-month thing. It's something that, you know, either you're going to go to the FAU camp or the FIU camp. You're going to go to the FAU 7-on-7 or the FIU 7-on-7. You're going to go to the FAU game or the FIU game. They parallel each other, and obviously a game like that. But you got to kind of pull up the bootstraps because from what I saw about Memphis, and I saw Rice compete as well, and then you look at UAB, took a pretty hard loss, but then you got USF, and you got Navy, and you got that Tulsa team that won a big, big game over Oklahoma State, and then you got Tulane, UConn, and East Carolina, and it's not easy. The conference is tough, and certainly they're going to have to find out a lot about some of these kids, and this is going to be a time, and I'm sure you admit that a lot of these older players and these veteran players are going to have to, you know, say, hey, listen, let's pull it up. Let's, you know, Memphis is going to be a great team, you know, but this isn't Ohio State. This is Memphis, their conference team. Talk about this game, you know, because you saw as well as I did the way they beat Arkansas last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's like we've said, it's not an easy opponent. They just beat an SEC team. Obviously, it's coming at kind of a weird time for them. FAU is coming off the bye week, obviously coming off a disappointing loss to FIU, like we've said. You know, they're underdogs in this game. I wouldn't be too disappointed, obviously, if I'm an FAU fan, for example. I wouldn't be too disappointed if they lose to Memphis, but I would look for them to keep it close, look for them to kind of keep it competitive. You know, take care of the ball a little bit. Because like I said, you know, you look at the stats, you look at the 8 touchdowns that they've thrown this year, and you go, wow, that's, you know, they already have thrown 8 touchdowns through 3 games. That's obviously different from what we saw last year where, you know, the offense really struggled. But then you look a little further and you go, okay, well, they've also thrown 7 interceptions so far this season. So they're kind of their own worst enemy in a way. They look great for, you know, periods of time, stretches of the game. The offense is flowing. It's fast. It's explosive. And then they throw, you know, numerous interceptions in a row, kind of force the issue. And you just want them to take better care of the ball. That's really the only way that they'll be able to keep this game with Memphis close, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of new faces on defense kind of, you know, kind of test them a little bit early on. Yeah, I mean, talent, yes, but a lot of new faces. And then obviously on the offensive side, especially in an offense that you alluded to before with the air raid, the kid Caton Veldkamp, how's he looking these games?
Like I've said, flashes of brilliance and flashes of not so brilliance. I mean, sometimes, you know, he kind of forces the issue, throws it towards maybe, you know, one too many defenders and ends up throwing a lot of interceptions. I look at the Maryland game where I believe he threw 4 interceptions. I mean, it's very uncharacteristic of someone like him. This kid just won Conference USA Player of the Year last year with Western Kentucky. So, you know, seeing kind of making the jump to the AAC, I guess he's feeling the growing pains a little bit of doing that because, you know, it's, like I said, flashes of brilliance and just sometimes forcing the issue, kind of mixed bag.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's going to be, like you said, uphill climb. But certainly, like you said, if they keep things close this week, 7 o'clock kickoff, at least there'll be a lot of people maybe, you know, kind of gravitating towards the game. There's not a, you know, there's not a lot local going on as far as that's concerned. So maybe they could, you know, get some of the alumni, get a lot of the local high school kids that, like we said, that are on the fence between them and maybe a couple of other schools. Justin, let everybody know how they can follow your social media as well as all the things that you do for the Palm Beach Post.
Yeah, absolutely. So I cover FAU athletics for the Palm Beach Post. You can find it in both the physical paper and online on the Palm Beach Post. I cover football and basketball. And on social media, you can find me on X. Just my username is just my name, just Justin Backer. So, yeah.
Good stuff, man. I can't thank you enough for stopping by. We'll talk soon. Let's get those Owls on a roll. And then when we talk again, we'll be able to talk about some more positives.
Certainly. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Justin Backer joined us from the Palm Beach Post, talking a little FAU football. I know things aren't going as great in Boca Raton, but you know what? There's a long season ahead. There's a lot of lessons to be learned, so we'll check that out as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, active adults, youth athletes, elite pros, everyone. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, wrap up hour number one, Jazz Santana from the Sixth Ring Canes. We talk University of Miami football.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris up until 8 o'clock this evening. NFL football will follow this evening. Good one, Detroit and Baltimore. Speaking about good one, what about the outstanding game on Saturday evening at Hard Rock Stadium, where the Hurricanes go to 4-0 and move up to number 2 in the AP poll? Great time to be a Hurricane fan, and certainly somebody's following this thing as close as anybody. Do the Sixth Ring Canes podcast, which will air this evening from 8:30 to 9:30, and also on the part of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Jazz Santana joins us. Jazz, thanks so much for taking the time, and wow, great time to be a Hurricane, huh?
Always my pleasure, Blue. Yeah, it's a great time to be a Miami Hurricane fan, player, former player, as Coach Cristobal liked to say. Anybody that's it's a Miami Hurricane family. It's a good time, and we just got to keep it rolling.
No doubt. Talk about on Saturday. Obviously, I think people, pure fans understand that Florida will be the best defense Miami will face. They're loaded with athletes. They fly to the ball. They things that worked against Notre Dame, things that worked against USF weren't working as well. But on defense, Miami may have put together one of the best defenses in the country through the first month of the season.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, I mean, it's a rivalry, right? So while it's not played every year, it's a rivalry, so you got to throw out the records. But regardless of records, you can't look at Florida's record and say, well, they're not a good football team, or, they don't have a talent on that team. It's a hell of a defense that Miami just played this past weekend. A lot of talent on the offense as well. They're just not very good. They're not well coached or execute on offense, but on defense,
sure.
They seem to be trying to do everything they can to keep that, their team in the game. Miami had some answers for them, but at the same time they sputtered and they had some issues running certain plays. So you got to give credit to that defense. But I'll tell you what, speaking of defense, on the other side of the football, that Miami Hurricane defense is quite frankly, it's impressive. It's a lot better than I thought they would be. And it's held down by arguably the best college football player in the country right now, Ruben Bain as well. He's just pure, it's just pure dominance on his side, wherever he's at. And I think that's giving a lot of people a lot of issues on how to scheme up to be able to try to do anything on the offensive side of football against this Hurricanes defense. So it's really exciting to watch. Hopefully they can, now it's crunch time. Now you've got conference play, and they've got to be able to continue that, that dominance throughout the rest of the eight games that they have left before, before Charlotte and all that stuff. So I'm really excited to see what happens moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, I mean, you take a look, what a difference a year makes, because last year we were watching this defense just completely fall apart. It was one of those, how many points can Miami's offense put up, the Louisville game was a great example of that, and then you had to outscore the opposition. But this year, you put three touchdowns on the board, and more than likely, you're coming away a winner.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's a testament, obviously, to a lot of the returning players buy in. Coach Heatherman doing an absolutely amazing job in helping them buy in to this scheme, to this defense. You're definitely seeing a huge change. It's a complete 180 from last year's defense. And it's exciting to watch because at this point last year, they started to get exposed already with the USF game. They were showing chinks in the armor. Right now, it's hard to find a spot in that defense where you say, hey, maybe, you know, this is their weakness. This is and everything. They're just firing on all cylinders right now. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Talk about a couple of people that have surprised you. Obviously, this running game. We knew Mark Fletcher coming back would be really, really good. Obviously, it was last year. Certainly, we thought we would see a little bit more of Jordan Lyle, but he's kind of been banged up a little bit. But you got to look at Marty Brown and say he has been really a huge addition to this team.
Yeah, I don't know if this running game is as good or as as exciting as it is without Marty Brown. Not only him running the football, but he made a one-handed circus catch this past weekend that on that second down late in the game that really I don't want to say put things away, but really got Miami moving forward again and scoring on that drive and being able to close things out a little bit. He did everything. He blocked. He ran the ball hard. He also got one taken back, and we all know already how we feel about that. Well, with the referees, we got that one taken back from him. Poor guy. Should have had three touchdown runs. He's exciting to watch. He's strong. He's powerful. I like to say it's thunder and lightning, but it's more like thunder and thunder right now. And they've got a little bit of breakaway speed, but the truth is that they're just wearing people out. And that's what you want to do, right, as this football program. They're built in the image of Mario Cristobal. They go in there, and in the third and fourth quarter, they're breaking the will of that defense. They're running it up their throats, and that offensive line is obviously doing an amazing job of helping them as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Some of the topics this evening on the Six Strings Canes podcast, which starts at 8:30. Let everybody know what everybody will be talking about. I know DJ will be talking about the six targets that the tight ends got. That's for darn sure.
Oh, he's excited about the tight ends. That's for sure. Yeah, we'll talk about these running backs again. Pure dominance from the offense. Well, from the trenches, not the offensive line only, but both offensive line and defensive line, how an amazing job they did. And also just, we want our fans to understand that there's different ways to win football games, right? You're not always going to win it by throwing for 300 or 400 yards. Yeah. Obviously, Carson Beck didn't have his best game, but we won it in typical Miami and Mario Cristobal style, right? We ran the ball really hard, and we played incredible defense. And sometimes a really good football team does that, right? They dominate the trenches. Yeah. They dominate the running game. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and give you guys some recruiting updates as well.
Good stuff. Let everybody know how they can listen to that this evening. It starts at 8:30 on let everybody know.
Yeah, so this tonight you actually can go on, log on to YouTube and check us out. Just subscribe. Go to the Five Reasons Sports Network YouTube. Subscribe there and check us out. It's the Six Ring Canes show at 8:30 p.m. on YouTube and then on your podcast. Wherever it is that you get your podcast, after the show will be sent to the to Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcast. So make sure you check it out. It's every Monday at 8:30 p.m. on YouTube Live. It's a Six Ring Canes show.
Good to see. We'll see you in about an hour or so. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate you.
You got it, my friend. Always a pleasure. Go Canes.
Good stuff. Jazz Santana, Six Rings Canes Show. That brings hour number one to a close. Please do not go away. In a few minutes, we'll be talking to Coach Alex Golish from the University of South Florida.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Welcome back to hour number two. Larry Bluestein along with Trevor Harris. We take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. We have NFL football right after our show. Good one, as I said before, Detroit and Baltimore, which will be coming your way immediately after our show. Thanks so much for all those who joined us in the first hour. If you missed any of the information or will miss anything here in the second hour, just go to WQAM.com, top of the page where it says podcast, and there we are. As we told you before, one of the programs that this first month of the season kind of took all of college football by storm for what they did, how they broke out of the gate. Because if you looked at the beginning of the season and you watched University of South Florida and saw Boise State on that schedule and you saw Miami on the schedule and you saw Florida, kind of daunting. Programs that have been established, but I will tell you this, the job that head coach Alex Golish and his staff and his players have done since he has arrived there has been amazing. As I said before, what they do during the summer to set the table during spring for the season is crazy. They have a week off. I know sometimes when you have momentum going, it's crazy to get that week off, but it's a great week to kind of look back, work on things that may have gone wrong, things that have gone right. You kind of perfect them a little bit. And Coach Alex Golish is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations on a great first month.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate you having me on, man.
A fun month for the program, for the school, for the students. Getting a lot of publicity, letting everybody know that this is a program that certainly will not compromise and has worked extremely hard. Let's take a look at this first month that you have this week off. I mean, you have this week off from not playing. God, I know you. You're still going to be in that office at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I know that's not going to compromise. But let's take a look back at this month and what this coaching staff and what this team and what this support staff and all your fans and the alumni have gone through from just a positive standpoint.
Yeah, you know, I think it was certainly a schedule or a start to the season that had everybody's attention. And I think for our guys, it was easy to go into January and say, you know what, like every single one of these days matters, because if not, you're going to get exposed. And our guys have taken a really methodical approach and have truly trusted this one week at a time concept. But really beyond any of that, you know, we've got a big group of seniors. We've got 33 guys, and right now through this first month, our best players are our older guys and also our hardest workers and also our best leaders. And it certainly has taken the time to build that here to get to a point where it truly has become player driven. But having this schedule early, one, I think, set us up, whether we were going to have success or not, it was going to at least tell you where you were. And our guys played incredibly well week one against Boise, you know, and went to Gainesville. And whoever gave us a chance, whoever didn't, I don't think it super matters, but played incredibly intent on defense and had moments offensively where we looked like what you wanted to look like. And I think very much a gutsy team win, you know, scored on special teams really 2 weeks in a row there. And a really gutsy win up in Gainesville, I think, to your point, has really energized our fan base, has energized our students, and really, really a lot of cool momentum here. As I sit here looking out my window, and we got actually brick on the ground, and we're building a stadium and building what I think is going to be the best football facility in the entire country. There's just so much momentum and excitement going right now here in Tampa.
Yeah. And I know you, and I know what you've been through, and you're a non-compromised guy. You know, there are those little things that you do in the off season, and because you've been through this before, and you've watched, you know, some of the, you know, how to build a program, and you know how success is made, and to convey when you go up to Gainesville. And listen, I watched the Miami-Florida game firsthand last week.
Florida's got dudes. You know, I mean, let's put it in that perspective right now. Florida is a really good SEC football team. I mean, obviously on offense right now, they're sputtering, but defensively they fly to the ball. They make plays. Boise's the same way. Miami's the same way. And you played head and right up with those guys because of the fact that not only did you believe it, but you got a lot of these kids understanding that, listen, it's a four-quarter game. If we're in that game in the fourth quarter, we have a good shot to win. And that's what happened in three or four games this year. Talk about that, because I think that you're at that point where, you know, I mean, I watched you and I told you when you shook hands with Kalen DeBoer last year, there was a hurt in your eyes because you go, listen, we don't make these mistakes. We're right in this game. You know what it takes to win. You just have to convey that with a lot of the younger players who haven't been through this before. Talk about that process, because I think that process is slowly coming together, and I think by the end of this year, especially as you get into conference play, and you watched obviously Memphis against Arkansas the other day. I mean, come on, you know, I mean, this is a league that has a lot of players in it. Talk about this program and where you've come the first month and where you're looking to get to towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think to your point, Larry, it's we're at a point in our program where the guys truly believe that they'll get as their work deserves. And I say that super humbly in the sense that I think year one in the program, there was a hope. And I think year two, there was some belief. But I think at this point, and you pointed out the Alabama game in our second year, really the Alabama game in our first year, like, these guys have gone and played at a high level against the best competition. On the flip of that, we've had some tough losses too, where we haven't played well. The one thing I could tell you is we've always played hard. It's been the detail and the focus that has separated those first couple of games this year from the entirety of the season. I think the challenge, and you said it, is can you consistently be the same team every single week? And more importantly than that, the elite teams, and you've done this longer than I have, Larry, like the elite teams, they get better as the season goes. And we're at a point where if we truly have become process-driven, which is all I've hammered since the day I got here, and you said it, this is my fifth time being a part of building from the ground up, and I've been fortunate that the previous stops I've been not just watching, but heavy involved in the building. And that's everything from hiring to recruiting to all of it. I think the biggest piece that in the times where it's been successful is the guys believe into being process driven rather than result driven. And that's not coach talk. I say the process driven piece simply that you don't get up for one game, down for another, up one game, down for another. You truly play to your standard in every single aspect of the game. And, you know, we just played what I think is a really good FCS team on Saturday and scored a bunch of points and had a bunch of success on defense. And man, I walked out of our team meeting this morning and a couple of our coaches are like, holy smokes, I felt like we lost. I'm like, yeah, I felt that way walking out of there too. We turned it over on offense once. We had a silly penalty on special teams. You know, our twos went out there and we keep talking about how great we've recruited, and our twos went out there and sputtered at times. Like, the standard's the standard. And I say that again with a lot of things that have gone positively, you're a couple plays away from it going the other way. And so the intent for us as a coaching staff, the intent as a group of players is that, man, you go right back to your process and you continue to fine tune it. You continue to fine tune your technique and fundamentals, because ultimately that's how you win games. And that's why you see elite programs win in October and November and play their best football at the end when it comes to championship games. And we're still continuing to build towards being able to be consistently process driven. We're closer than we've ever been. We certainly are. And I'll give our guys the credit that it has been really, really player driven up until this point. But you know, as well as I do, it's if you pull off for 1 second, just good enough to get beat. And I told our guys the same exact thing this morning, and I think they're mature enough to understand that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And we're speaking with Alex Golish, head coach at University of South Florida. And the one thing, too, is you look at Clemson, you look at these programs who, listen, they've been recruiting at a high level for a long time. But if you take your foot off the gas for one minute, especially in this age of transfer portal and being able to revamp your entire team in a year. I mean, you know, like we, you know, I just got done talking with one of our people at the University of Miami and talking about Miami had one of the worst defenses in the country last year. I mean, and all they do is you infuse all these young players, with some veteran guys and things change in college football is like that. And whether it be here or whether it be in Boise or, you know, or at UNLV or any of these programs like that, things can change and you got to have the mentality and you do. And a lot of the kids like Byron Brown, your quarterback, who gets it? I mean, you could tell he gets it. Obviously, you know, that's a guy who certainly is your leader on offense. But then you look at players who are making names for themselves, like Chaz Nimrod. Here's a guy that a lot of people didn't even know about. Then he has a couple of really good games, and he's thrust, you know, into the spotlight, you know, as a junior and on defense. You get some kids that make some big plays. So you get a lot of these guys in your area, and especially, and I saw it over the last couple of years from your camps and from your 7-on-7s, that a lot of your local coaches, and that's huge, whether people want to understand it or not, if you have support from your local high school coaches, you know, within a 50-60 mile radius, you're doing your job, because those are the recruits that are going to put fans in the seats, and especially with the caliber of talent in the state of Florida, and you get those type of players, and you never know, never know what's going to go on. But so what's on tap this week? So what do you guys, from your standpoint, I know it's not light work, but the kids, you kind of rest a little, the injuries, you try to prepare slowly for the, for Charlotte.
Yeah. So really a couple of things. One, heavy self-scout from a coaching standpoint, make sure what we're putting on film is not easily figure outable, I guess, in a lot of ways. Right. That's priority number one. Priority number two, you hit on it. You got to get some guys feeling really healthy. Knock on wood, we've stayed healthy through this stretch, and to credit to the kids and a credit to our strength staff. But getting physically and mentally kind of rejuvenated, it's a gauntlet. When you're playing the competition we're playing, it's a straight physical and mental grind. And the ability, they had yesterday off, today was a relatively short morning. We'll start with kind of a normal Monday tomorrow. We'll have a normal Tuesday practice as coaches were preparing for Charlotte, getting ahead. And so essentially have a really good long practice, some Charlotte, some us, and then have another one that's a non-padded kind of fast tempo Charlotte, half us, half Charlotte practice, and then give the guys a little bit of time off on Friday. And then we play on Friday. So Saturday becomes a Sunday. And so we're right back at it, but give our guys the ability to go. A lot of these guys love going back to their games on Friday nights, go get a chance to go see their families for a little bit. And,
sure.
And then give us a chance to get out and recruit. So we'll be out essentially Thursday night and Friday, go see a bunch of our committed guys, and then come back Saturday truly to a normal game week. So you feel like you're a little bit ahead, but Charlotte's got a bye week as well. So I think ultimately if we can, and I told our guys this morning, we will win this week if our guys are rejuvenated, we feel really healthy, we feel really fast, and we got a jump start on Charlotte to where we feel like when we hit the ground running next week, we're actually reviewing more so than installing.
Good stuff. Coach, can't thank you enough spending some time with us on a Monday. We'll catch up with you. As always, thanks so much for making time, and the rest of the season is going to be a grind, and obviously you guys are ready for it.
Well, I appreciate it. Love what you do, Laird. Appreciate the heck out of you, man. You do it the right way.
You too, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Go Bulls.
Good stuff. Coach Alex Agolas, your head coach, University of South Florida. Great guy, great coach, and you've seen it firsthand over the first month of the season. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap it up with some high school over the next 40 minutes. We'll talk soon.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
All right, Blue Stain and Trevor Harris taking you right up until 8 o'clock. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us on this Monday. Thanks to Alex Golish, the head coach of the University of South Florida, for joining us. I think that's a segment that you'll want to kind of check out on our podcast, and we'll give you all the details as well. First two games of the season, West Broward played two of the best teams in the country. They played Corner Canyon in Utah, really good football program, and then went up to Georgia for the second year in a row and played Camden County. But over the last 2 weeks, this is a team that's starting to play like everybody thought they would and be one of the contenders in 6A this year, beating Plantation and Flanagan as they get ready for Everglades coming up this week. And head coach Brian McCartney has done an outstanding job and building this team up, looking for yet another district title. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. And it looks like you guys are back on track right now.
Hey, Larry. Thanks, man. Yeah, we play those tough games to get us ready for the playoffs because we know 6A is tough, man. You got, you know, West Boca and Southridge, and we got Mandarin and a couple other tough teams from North. So we got to play high competition, man, in that Corner Canyon. And Camden County really got our teams ready for these this season, you know.
Yeah, but you could tell even in both games that, I mean, the gap is closing. You're getting kids now that are going to be over the next couple of years ready to go up against that competition and battle them for four quarters. I think in the Corner Canyon game, they waited for you to make mistakes, and good teams do that. And obviously, you got a lot of young kids in a lot of young places. Talk about the makeup of this team, because I watched you guys, you know, perform, and you have a lot of talent, especially in the offseason. You have a lot of new faces around, but at the same time, a couple of kids that come back from last year. Talk about this team and how they've responded, you know, because sometimes, you know as well as I do, you get beat in two games and then you lose that confidence. But I think they kind of use that in reverse and maybe have used those two games, you know, as that springboard to the rest of the season.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's exactly what we did. Our team's made up with, you know, we have like 14 great seniors, you know, four on the offensive line, led by Alejandro Schmidt going to FAU. Brian Granger, who's always a puller, man, hits you in the mouth. Nate Dunhoff and Nick Ion. We got Brandon Mincy, who came in as quarterback. 2026, really underrated, probably quarterback in South Florida. We're led on offense, you know, Amir Sears plays on offense. Cedric Mitchell plays on offense. And honestly, our run game, man, is really led by Amos Bradford, Daquan Adderley, and Isaiah Lopez. And then on the defensive side, you know, we have a bunch of young guys. You know, we have young guys that are sophomores and freshmen led by, you know, Amir Sears, Shamar Akande, and Uriah McCartney. Being the senior middle linebacker out there. And we have some, man, unbelievable sophomore D linemen like Zion Warner. We got him, Sabian McLeod, and then a couple seniors with Jason Farfan and Twan Miranda, man. And, man, our DBs this weekend against Flanagan really showed out, and against Plantation, that they could really compete, because we did go against the Corner Canyons, you know, with the diesel darts and kids that are D1 kids going to Minnesota, Texas A&M, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, Cam Goodwin's coming around, and the really DBs have really showed up. We have two freshmen playing back there. We have a guy named Zachary. We call him Turbo Man, and unbelievable safety for us. And, man, I don't know. It's pretty exciting, Larry, because
yeah,
we have some great seniors, but we also have some freshmen and sophomores stepping up, like Tyler Tyndale. He's really a safety, but he's helping us out at Will linebacker. And, you know, we got Kadarius out there, receiver, who's a freshman, who I was a little worried, honestly, with his size, but the kid makes plays, man. And we got a kid named Rocktavian that we call him Mook, man, and he's been making some great touchdown catches for us as a sophomore. So I'm really blessed with a great group of seniors that are really leading the forefront. And then the sophomore and freshman class really stepping up, playing competitive football.
Yeah, no doubt. And here's the thing, too. When you take a look at somebody like Amir Sears, this kid's a big-time kid. I mean, you know, he's a young kid, a 2028 player, but at the same time, which is, a sophomore, but at the same time, he has that veteran presence. He's been around. He's not afraid to do anything. We saw him, you know, during the 7-on-7. He turned heads all off season. Talk about somebody like him, because you're looking at a guy who could be a power four guy. Yeah, well, not could. He will be in the secondary or at wide receiver. What makes him so special? I mean, I know he's gifted, but he's kind of grounded for a kid so young too.
Yeah, he's pretty humble for the most part, you know, why he's working, you know, as a sophomore, because, you know, being the 2028, you know, a lot of guys would get gigantic heads, but he's actually brought a lot of these kids along with him that, you know, used to play Optimus with him and brought them into showing up on defense and showing up on offense. Like some of the guys I mentioned, you know, he played with as 13 years old and 14 years old. So they've been in like big time games in youth football. So he's really taken them under his wing and really helped out the receiver core. And, you know, along with a couple other guys out there in our quarterback, man, Brandon Minzy, you know, he's really taking control of this offense and really showed. And when you have an offensive line, big and physical, you know, we could run the ball. We didn't run the ball as good as we wanted against Flanagan, because they did pretty good. But in all reality, we ran the ball pretty dang good. You know, it wasn't as what we wanted. You know, we have expectations and standards of what we want. We didn't hit those, but we still dominated the game up front in the trenches.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian McCartney joins us, head coach at West Broward. And you take a look at, some of the players, and you talked about that offensive line, and we did something with them when they were at the FIU camp during the summer. This is a big fortress, and you have a guy like Mario Perez as your offensive coordinator, somebody who's been around there for a long, long time. You know, he's been a head coach. He knows, how to build offenses and how to orchestrate them, and obviously – like that. Talk about that, because I think you've got an opportunity to score a lot of points.
No, 100%. Once our O-line really clicks, man, they've been coming together. We've had some sickness and illnesses and stuff like that. So really, like, getting enough practices together, I think we're going to really be superb, you know, with this thing, rain and everything that we have, you know, trying to go outside and actually play. I'm really excited, because we have Mario and we have Coach Kendall Charles, who's our DC, who came from Chaminade, and he's done really well. Young DC up and coming, really got our defense rocking and rolling, and with that high-powered Flanagan offense, really hit him in the mouth, you know, and Plantation also with some D1 players out there. So having Mario and Kendall's been truly a blessing, with my O-line coach, Deronzi Lawrence, and some of my other guys that I have has been truly blessing, you know, with that. We have to kind of adapt whenever we have to go inside, and we have to, like, work inside in the locker, in the basketball gym. You know, we figured it out and we made it work, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. District-wise, the Flanagan game was huge, obviously, in the district. You still have Miami Beach. You still have Dr. Krop. But in between, you'll also play Western. You'll play that game against Cardinal Gibbons at I believe you're going to be playing that on the 29th, next Monday, a week from tonight, right?
You'll be getting
an opportunity.
Cardinal Gibbons.
It's another game. It gets you ready. Gibbons came up with a big win over the weekend over a Coconut Creek team that was undefeated. So, obviously, this team's coming together slowly but surely. But, you know, you guys have been doing the job, and I just wanted to kind of recognize a lot of the kids that were doing well, and you did. And certainly this is a program to watch. Again, looking for another run at a district. You had mentioned 6A, probably as strong as any class in the state. You know, you take a look at the teams upstate with Armwood, obviously one of the programs. Gainesville-Buholz is really good. Osceola, which made the finals last year, and then, you know, West Boca down here this year. You'd mentioned Southridge as well.
And you can't forget again about Monarch because they, like you have been tested quite a bit. But I just wanted to make sure that we got you. I thank you so much for taking the time. Well, you know, we'll hit you plenty and we'll start getting to those games. It's maybe next Monday because I think we may not be on next Monday because the Dolphins play next Monday. So, but if not, we'll head out there and check you out. And I can't thank you enough, Coach, for taking the time.
Anything you need, Larry, I'm always there, man. You're, like I've always said, the best in the biz. And I appreciate all the stuff you do for our high school sports.
Good stuff. Coach, I can't thank you enough. New Mexico will always love you, brother. You know that.
505, baby.
That's it. Representing the 505. Awesome. Good stuff. Coach Brian McCarty, the head coach at West Broward, does a tremendous job. We'll be following him, as I said, the rest of the year. One of the other programs that has gained some momentum over the last couple of weeks, they lost the game we saw earlier this year to South Ridge. But obviously they got behind early, came back, you know, in the second half, but came up with two huge wins over the last couple of weeks, beat Columbus, which is a major hurdle, which right now gives them the top seed, not only in district, but will be in the region. And then last week, the Big Cat win, which is always good between them and Killian. But as they head now down the stretch, they have a couple of teams. You know, the rest of the way that that they can beat, obviously, and but they take them one game at a time. Talking about Miami Palmetto, head coach Mike Manasco is kind enough to join us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. You know what? I mean, this is one of those years. You got over that major hurdle early. Obviously, we're probably going to see Columbus again in the playoffs, but certainly something to give these kids a lot of confidence. I know you guys worked extremely hard in the offseason, and thanks so much for taking the time on a Monday with us.
No, definitely, Blue. Thanks for having me. I mean, you know, our biggest Achilles heel has been Columbus, obviously, the last few years, and, you know, getting one early was good, but, you know, I mean, obviously we're going to see him again, so, you know, that's going to be the real matchup to see how we you know, who's really improved that much over the course of the season, right? Because, I mean, it's going to come down, I think. You know, there's other teams in the region, obviously, and we're not going to overlook anybody, but, you know, obviously Columbus is a big thorn in our side, you know, over the last few years. I mean, they've been our only loss, you know, so. But we're excited, you know, like I told you earlier, we got a young group, and it's good that, you know, they're playing, and we just need to keep playing games. I mean, that's what this group needs. I think our best football is going to be later on down the season, just because we're getting a lot of good experience and we're putting kids in a lot of situations, you know, right now, that's going to lead up to those moments later on.
The one thing that probably has helped you more is you have some big play guys. Obviously, you look at a Ja'Cory Barney who's getting it done in Nebraska. I mean, those are kind of tough guys to continue to get. But you have some players. You have some receivers that have done real well. Your offensive line, which I saw during the spring, and I think I told you then, I was impressed. I was impressed by the size and the athleticism. And you have a quarterback who wants to make plays as far as your offense, and as I mentioned, you have some receivers that are ready to make plays. The kid Cornelius Miller did a tremendous job, and he continues. Talk about this offense because you're not making a lot of mistakes, and that's probably one of the key reasons.
Yeah, no, yeah. Listen, the kids on our defense right now have no idea how lucky they are to have the offense we have right now. You know, because defense is making all the mistakes, but you know, like, the offensive line, I mean, I think this is probably the, like you alluded to, the biggest and the most athletic group we've ever had. And they're people movers. They're difference makers down there where, you know, maybe we haven't had that in the past at this level. You know, just the way we were able to run the ball the last couple of weeks with, you know, arguably our best running back out, right? Like, we'll get him back hopefully this week. But, yeah, no. And then, you know, the guys on the outside have done a tremendous job. You know, It all goes through Andre Bailey, the quarterback. You know, he's shown that he can handle the big moments. He's shown that he can run our offense. He could check us in and out of things that we want to be in or we don't want to be in. But, you know, we definitely have players on the outside that can make people pay if they slip or they, you know, the coverage bust or something like that. But the core of our team right now is going to be with the guys with their hands in the dirt.
Right.
And over the next couple of weeks, Coral Gables, South Dade, and Miami High, which will be district games, obviously, you know, I mean, obviously you play these games one game at a time. But the good thing, too, is the ending. Your GMAC game could be against Central, do you think? What's the projection? Would it be that? Would it be against Central? And then you end against Bishop Varoa at Fort Myers, which is a pretty formidable opponent. So it gives you a chance two out of the last 3 weeks to get a test, which these kids, obviously, if they get into a lull where they think that, oh, well, we'll take care of this one, at least you get some good teams playing your last couple of weeks to get you going into the playoffs. Talk about that.
Well, you know, just to be honest, like where we're at, like our toughest obstacle is practice every day, right? Like that's how far ahead we're looking. We're looking at the next practice. I definitely, you know, if you look at the bigger picture, obviously we're going to get one of the better teams from up north, which we're excited about. But I mean, we're all focused on Coral Gables district game, and then, you know, because we still have that makeup with Homestead in there, with, you know, right on that we play. We basically go Thursday, then next week Friday, and then Monday. So we're playing, three games in 11 days, you know, and then we have our bye week, which is, you know, we'll have the end of a bye week. Monday we'll play during that week, and then, you know, I think we'll figure out our GMAC thing probably pretty soon. But, yeah. No, we're looking forward to Bishop Varoa coming down here. You know, that was the one we lost last year that we felt like we just didn't play well. I think we ended up losing by, like, 5 or something like that. Where, you know, I think that, you know, we're excited about having the opportunity for them to come to us. But this is definitely a group that we can't even look past like 11-on-11 scout in practice, right? Because we need these reps and we need these scenarios. That's just this group I have right now.
Do you get an opportunity, as we're speaking with Mike Manasco, the head coach of Miami Palmetto, do you get an opportunity with these younger kids, you know, especially on defense, you know, to get them those reps that are going to get them better? I mean, because I know that you had a couple of blown coverages, you know, in the Southridge game early on, but it seemed like you guys rebounded in the second half and maybe learned a little bit. These kids at the period right now where they can make easier adjustments and, you know, at halftime, and then, you know, you point a couple of things out to them, say, hey, you should have been over here, over there. And they kind of like maybe apply that in the second half. Did they kind of learn from their mistakes, or is it kind of repetitive? You're in that repetitive type of mode.
No, I mean, it's a blessing. It's not the repetitive scenario, but I firmly believe we're making mistakes we need to make. Like, we're making mistakes these kids need to make and understand that, okay, you know, maybe they were taught some other way, and now they're understanding how we play, right? And you know, what our adjustments are and what our checks are and all those things. And I think it's a learning curve. I mean, you know, the landscape of high school football has changed so much, right? When it's, you know, when kids are, you're bouncing around left and right. So it's like, you know, it's the issue we have is making sure that our guys understand our system and how we're doing things. And, you know, I the mistakes we made, everybody in our entire group would love to play that Southridge game over again. You know, I mean, we did not stand up to the hype of the game. We made so many mistakes early. But with this group, they needed to go through that. They needed to see that. They needed to see that nothing's going to be won on social media, right? Nothing's going to be won talking before a game. Everything's going to be won between the whistles and the 48 minutes we have to do it. And I just feel like, you know, that was a big learning curve. And I think it showed the next week against Columbus and then the next week against Killian, which was another hype, you know, hyped up kind of social media hypes these things up. You know, before we were just worried about, when we were coaching kids, we were just worried about girls and where their minds were. Now we got to worry about social media and all these other things, you know. So it's just constantly one thing after another. But going back to mistakes, I think we're making the right ones. I think that everything that we're making is correctable. And, you know, I don't see any issues with effort, attitude, and toughness, because, you know, those are the things that we pride our program on. I just see them on, you know, inexperience. And I think that, you know, the thing that I made to the team after the game against Killian is, you are no longer a young team. You know, we're heading into week 6 of our season. So, you know, we need to grow up and grow up quick.
No doubt. Well, you're never going to take that Killian game away from being a rival. When you were there, it was a rival. Before you were there, it was a rival. It's always been a big rival. So obviously, there'll always be talking when you have rivals. You know that. And now you get another rival this week in Carl Gables, a district rival. You know, they come in 3-1. Anything could happen. You know that as well as anybody. And certainly a game this Thursday. And, Coach, I can't thank you enough for joining us, as always. Always great to see you guys when I come down there. I got a chance to see you a couple times already this year. Maybe, again, you know, maybe that during that GMAC game, that could be one of the marquee contests. Certainly you guys have played well. And, again, thanks so much for taking the time for us.
Thanks, Blue. I think that you don't get enough credit, but, you know, keep doing what you're doing, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Coach Mike Manasco, head coach at Miami Palmetto. And listen, I picked them at the beginning of the year. And then when they lost to Southridge, I was like, oh, my gosh, come on, not again. And then you got Columbus coming up and, you know, you don't do well. But I'll tell you what, they're passing all tests. Truthfully, the rest of the way, we don't know what their GMAC week game. That's a game where you're going to play another opponent. They could get Miami Central. We saw Miami Central last week. Really good team. Obviously, they are mistake prone as well, so anything could happen. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. We'll take our final break. We'll come back and wrap things up after this.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Back to wrap things up for a beautiful Monday evening. Glad you guys were joined and being a part of this show and are every single week. If you miss anything that we had tonight, just go to WQAM.com, top of the page where our podcast is, South Florida High School Sports. Not only that, but we promote our shows. Every guest that we had on, from Brandon Helwig from UCF.com to Justin Backer from the Palm Beach Post to Jazz Santana from the Sixth Ring Canes, head coach Alex Golish from the University of South Florida, coach Mike Manasco from Miami Palmetto, and Coach Brian McCartney from West Broward. We'll have all of them up for you on WQAM.com, on our podcast, and we'll have that every single week for you. Tomorrow we'll recap all the guests that we had in case you miss them this evening, and we will be back with you next week. We'll let you know exactly what day. Monday being a Miami Dolphin day, we'll see. But most likely it'll either be Tuesday or Wednesday, most likely Wednesday, but we will let you know. Trevor Harris, thanks so much. As usual, we will see you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Ever watch your pet sleep and wonder what they're dreaming about? Maybe it's them chasing a ball on a grassy field next to your new duplex, or catching the frisbee in front of your single-family home. Or perhaps they're zooming around the kitchen of your open-concept condo. Whatever their dream setting looks like, you can rest assured that you'll find the most pet-friendly rental listings on Apartments.com, the place to find a pet-friendly place.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.